Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Bubba. And Xander is back. He's off the mound today. He's back here. What's up, Xander?
Hey, how's it going? I'm back for my two-week hiatus. Definitely missed doing the show. I was busy with baseball. We're out of town. Was down south in Jackson, Mississippi. Was in Memphis for a little bit. Got to see Beale Street. That was really a treat. It was awesome. Actually ran into Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan walking down the street with a couple of my teammates, and they were absolutely enormous. You know, Chris Paul isn't that big, but seeing DeAndre Jordan in person was awesome, and that was cool. And then finished up in Terre Haute, Indiana, a little pretty crappy weather, but now I'm back and ready to rock and roll.
Back for some more crappy weather, and of course, you know, a lot of things going on, but the first thing I actually wanted to talk about, and I don't know if you followed the story or not, but Spike Albrecht from Michigan, the guard who graduated and he wants to transfer. And, you know, in college, you can transfer without sitting out a year if you've graduated. But the Big Ten is stepping in and saying you can go to any other school, but you cannot go in the Big Ten. And I want to know what your thoughts are. I think that's such Bush League. I mean, they aced him out. They have no scholarship for him, yet they're not going to let him play within the Big Ten if that's where he wants to play. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think that is pretty ridiculous. I mean, you know, once the kid wants to transfer, I don't see why it matters where he wants to go. I mean, what's the point of saying that you can't go in the Big Ten? I mean, it just doesn't really make any sense to me, especially, you know, he's making the best move for himself, and he's doing what he wants. I really don't see. It's just one of those NCAA things that kind of makes you shake your head and ask, you know, why do they need to step in and make this kind of restriction?
Well, I mean, it's just like they told them they're not going to give him a scholarship. They don't need him. They've already recruited over him. So let him go. What is he going to make? They play him twice a year. Is he going to cost them the Big Ten championship? You know what I mean? I mean, it's so dumb. Sometimes you got to wonder about these guys who are making the rules and how ignorant they actually are. I mean, they remind me of the government, for crying out loud. It's just stupid. But anyways, so, you know, we are in Final Four weekend, and what have you thought of the tournament so far?
You know, it's been one of the better tournaments I can remember in a long time. I mean, I haven't been able to catch many of the games, you know, playing all the time, but I mean, some of these games, I mean, that was one of the most exciting first rounds I have ever seen. I mean, I remember the first game I saw, I stepped into the room when Arkansas Little Rock came back and won that huge game against Purdue, and that really set the tone for the tournament. I mean, so many great games, and now we're sitting here in a Final Four with a 10 seed, I think, you know, the highest seed ever to make it to a Final Four. So a lot of great games. Disappointed my Jayhawks, you know, didn't pull through against Villanova, but I got to give Villanova a lot of credit. I mean, I remember we were talking before the tournament started, you know, picked heavily against them because they notoriously have not done well in the NCAA tournament. But they come in, I think, probably the most balanced team in this Final Four when you take a look at it.
Oh, I would not disagree with it at all. I think they look great. I mean, you know, listen, I believe it or not, I was and still always a Villanova fan. You know, just there are certain schools I've always liked over the years, and it's just they were always so disappointing. They never failed to disappoint you. So it was hard. And, of course, they beat Kansas up pretty good, and they look to be awfully good and awfully tough to beat. Of course, they're going up against Oklahoma and Buddy Hield. What do you think?
Well, you know, Oklahoma's sitting as a 2-point dog right now, and I hate to pick against Villanova again, but I really do like Oklahoma in this matchup. I think the experience is there for them, and I think, you know, they've shown that they really ran through this NCAA tournament, haven't really been challenged that much. And I think this is going to be a tough matchup, but I think they just come out on top more due to the experience, and I think Buddy Hield is going to have a great game. You know, a really cool storyline in this game is Kadeem Ladin, forward for Oklahoma, is actually the grandson of David Ladin, who was on that Texas Western team 50 years ago that became the first all-black starting five to win a national championship. So I thought that was really cool that he's playing in the Final Four. I saw David Ladin do an interview on SportsCenter last week, you know, talking about that whole thing and the situation. And the movie Glory Road, I think, if you haven't seen it, go out and see that. I mean, that is a great depiction of, you know, that story and how great that was for the game of basketball and you know, the country in general.
Big Daddy D. Ladin? Yeah, it is a great story. And of course, now you've got Syracuse in that is now in the Final Four, who weren't even supposed to make the tournament, and they've had all kinds of issues this year. And somehow they've managed to come through it all and continue to, despite all odds, you know, that zone defense, whatever Jim Boeheim does, whatever he learned, it's been one hell of a defense. What do you think there? What's it looking like there for you?
Well, so this game's sitting at 9.5 right now on the CBS Sports site, and that's a lot of points. I think North Carolina is going to win this game, but I think it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, you know, you say what you want about Syracuse, but you don't just make a run to the Final Four purely by luck. I mean, they've been playing some great basketball, and I think they're gonna make this one a dogfight. I mean, North Carolina has been pretty up and down all year in terms of being one of the top teams in the country, but they look pretty good so far, and I don't think that's going to stop. I think the championship matchup is going to be Oklahoma-North Carolina, but I mean, in terms of the NCAA, I think this is one match that they just didn't want to see. I mean, you look at Syracuse and North Carolina, both on the so-called bad side of the NCAA for, you know, sanctions with grades and basically breaking a lot of rules. So I think this is something they definitely didn't want to see, but pretty interesting matchup and a historic coaching matchup when you look at Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim. I think I saw something that said they had the most combined tournament wins ever for a coaching matchup in the NCAA tournament. So I think I would take Syracuse with the points, but for the actual game, I think I'm going to go with North Carolina.
Well, you know, I just think it'll be, in my opinion, I like Syracuse as well, but here's the deal. If North Carolina gets out and runs on them and they get too far behind, they might lose by 100. Okay, this game has to be a low-scoring game for Syracuse to win, in my opinion. I don't think they shoot the ball all that well. And, of course, we know North Carolina can get out with the best of them, and they can easily, in any game, put up 100. And I'm not saying they're going to do it here. I mean, but this has got to be a game that's going to be – this is going to be one on the sporting edge theory. If Syracuse is going to win the game, they're going to have to defend like they've never defended before, and they're going to have to make sure that they keep North Carolina down to a low shooting percentage, because without that, it's going to be, I think, a rout. And I do like Syracuse in this spot. I do think Syracuse can actually beat them, which is always one of my theories as the live dog. I do like the two underdogs this week. In fact, I'm going to make a money line parlay on both of them as well, because I do like both dogs, and I think that they both have a legitimate chance. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Syracuse gets blown out. I mean, there's a lot. Now, one thing I know about Boeheim is he ain't changing for nobody, okay? So I know I'm not going to get one of these coaches who's going to melt in the moment. So they're going to play that defense. Now, the question is, will they be able to stop him, and will North Carolina get off to a cold start that changes the tempo of the game? And that'll be more the issue that we'll be watching. But we're going to step out here for a break. We got our man Xander back. Bring up some good stuff. We got a lot more to cover today. It's a busy sports weekend. So we're going to step out of break. This is the Sporting Edge. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm to download the show every week. Between this and the Bubba Show, we're doing over 200,000 downloads a month, and we want to see you as part of it. This is the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically. No, but
welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Xander's back. And Xander, I know you had a few thoughts and things you wanted to talk about today, so let it rip, my boy.
Well, you know, the first thing I want to talk about is the Warriors owner came out and said that his team is superior over the entire NBA, and I wanted to get your thoughts about it. I mean, I get that the Warriors are great. They're unbelievable. But I thought these comments were a little misguided. I mean, when you talk about being, you know, light years ahead of the entire NBA, I think you just got to look down the road and look at the Spurs. I mean, you can't tell me that, you know, the Warriors are a shoo-in to beat them in the Western Conference Finals.
I agree. Look, at you know, I think sometimes guys drink their own Kool-Aid a little bit too much. Now, I will say that the that Golden State is ahead of many of the teams, but I don't put them much ahead of in San Antonio. I got news for you. If they end up playing and the price is right and San Antonio is a big enough dog in that series, guess what? I'm taking San Antonio because, you know, certainly I don't know. You want to talk about somebody who's light years ahead. I think Popovich is a coach. He is the remaking of Phil Jackson when he first came in with his triangle. Okay. And now, you know, he had the players, you know, it always takes players too, but Popovich has figured out things that nobody's figured out, which is why he can win with half a roster. And I think they're 58-0 in their last 58 home games. So, you know, you can't tell me that, you know, the Spurs, the Warriors are great and they've got great players, but you know, light years ahead. I think not, you know what I mean? I don't think that would be.
Yeah. And then the cool thing about the Warriors, if everything has really worked out for them, and you look at basically every player in their core group of, you know, seven or eight guys, I mean, guys like Steph Curry, nobody could have predicted, I think, his success in the league and being, you know, arguably the best player. And you look at all the other pieces, you got a very old Andrew Bogut playing good basketball. Andre Iguodala has revitalized his career. You've got a great role player in Harrison Barnes. You get a second round pick in Draymond Green, who's, you know, and at all-star caliber level, I mean, all these players combined, and Klay Thompson too, everything has really worked out terrifically for the Warriors. And that brings me to the next point. The owner also said that they're going to be going for years. And this is another thing that, you know, I'm just not so sure about. I think the only thing that's guaranteed in sports is change. And year after year, things happen. I mean, if you think about it, they could be one injury away from being irrelevant. I mean, if Steph Curry is not playing on that team, I don't think they're the top team in the league anymore. And I just wanted to get out the point that, you know, nothing lasts forever. I mean, as good as they've been playing the last 2 years, you know, you're one injury away, you're a couple guys start playing bad. I mean, and that's the thing about the Warriors. Everything is so perfect right now, but, you know, to say that they're going to be dominating this league for years, I think is also a little bit misguided.
You know what? Unless you had Michael Jordan and you had that team and they were healthy, again, you're right. You're one guy away from being a completely different team. And I could not agree more on that. And that brings me to a question I had for you. Now, again, I know athletes are supposed to always say that way, but Kyrie says that they're the team to beat, the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you think?
From a sports perspective, I respect it. I mean, obviously, as a professional athlete, I think as humble as some guys come out, I think they're all, you know, arrogant on the inside. And not to say that it's a bad thing. I think to be at the top of your game and the top level of sport, you know, in the world, I think you need to be that guy. So much confidence and so much enthusiasm towards that you're the best. I mean, and I really respect Kyrie for saying this. I disagree with him. I don't think they're a team to be, not even close. But that actually makes me you know, respect Kyrie a lot more because, you know, he's been a guy, I think, kind of in LeBron's shadow. I mean, everybody who plays under LeBron is kind of in his shadow. So I respect this move, and I think, you know, the Cavs, say what you want, but they really had no chance in the finals last year. I mean, without Kyrie and Kevin Love, you know, that was just LeBron, you know, doing his thing on his own, and he was not going to beat that Warriors team. But when you look at, you know, Kyrie coming back, I think they might be able to make a little run. I don't think they're going to do it, but you got to think that it could happen if he's playing at the top of his game, and LeBron is as well.
Well, they did take him to six games last year with you know, one guy. Now, you know, now that we're on the NBA a little bit here, what do you think about this D'Angelo Russell? Is this guy an ignoramus or what? Did he just piss away his career?
In short, I think he did. I mean, forget about the guy as a player or what he's done and hasn't done. Trust is a huge thing. I think being part of a team, you know, you spend so much time with these people, and you think about pro sports, it's just like a job. I mean, you're doing it all year round, and you develop a bond with people that is almost unlike anything else. You know, there's really nothing like competing with others and relying on other people. And when you build that trust and you betray it so egregiously, like D'Angelo Russell did, I mean, how could he ever regain that full amount of trust that he had in the first place? I don't think it's going to happen, and it really sucks. He made a stupid mistake, and I don't even know why he did it in the first place.
I don't either.
This is a 19-year-old kid.
That's a fraternity. The pro athletes are a fraternity. I mean, listen, we all know that a lot of guys in life do a lot of things that they're not supposed to do, but, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm sure that your fraternity and your team, you guys do a lot of things that wouldn't be approved of either, but that doesn't matter. That's why your friends, that creates the internal bond, and why a guy would ever think of doing something like that. I mean, to me, that makes absolutely zero logical sense for a guy to think of anything of even doing that. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't get it. I mean, you know, but because I don't get a lot of things, but that's one thing that really, really bothers me, you know, just from a guy, you know, you think about it, you know, I played sports, you're in sports, you know, you're in the locker room, you're kind of hanging with your guys, and all of a sudden some asshole decides that he wants to expose you to the world, not only to your girlfriend or your fiance, but to the world. I mean, that's pretty crappy, but hey, it is life what it is. And all right, Golden State, did I get 73?
Yes, I think they absolutely do. I think I saw the percentage this morning. Got an 80% chance to do it after pulling out an overtime win the other night. I think they're going to do it. And I've heard rumblings that Greg Popovich is not going to play his starters in the last couple matchups versus Golden State at the end of the year. So I think they get it done. It's awesome. It's historic to think that in an 82-game season that a team could win 73 games at this level. I mean, it's crazy. But you know what? Those are kind of records that are nice to look at, but when you look down and you want to see how successful a team is, you look at the guy's fingers and see how many rings they have.
Hey, that is the way that you keep scoring. It's interesting. Draymond Green did something that no other NBA player has ever done in the history. I think it's 500 blocks, 500 assists, 1,000 points. Every category, nobody's ever done over 500 in every category in NBA history.
Yeah, like you said before, he's crazy. I mean, I think he has an outside shot of making the Hall of Fame. And I know he's a young guy. But when you look how many Hall of Famers have come out of the second round of the draft, I think you count him on less than two hands. But he's a really special player. And it's a huge part of the reason why this Golden State team has found so much success over the past 3 years.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of them, because you know what I like about Golden State and San Antonio. You never hear from them. You never hear any bad things about them. Really, they just go out and win. There's not a lot of fanfare. There's not a lot of crap going on. They just go out and win all the time.
And that's winning does cure everything.
But you know what I mean? But I mean, look, we know we've seen teams win, you know, in the past that were full of trash talking jackasses as well. You know what I mean? I mean, here's a team that they just go out and play. They do their job. They do it better than anybody else. And at the end of the day, that's why and to me, that gets a high marks in my book. Not that they care what I think, but you know, I'm tired of hearing the crap with Cleveland and all that bullshit. I mean, to me, LeBron James, you know, you were gone, but I denounced my liking of LeBron James. I said he's a piece of garbage. I'm no longer in his corner anymore. So,
I had the same thought the other day. Thinking about LeBron, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, originally I was indifferent. I mean, it was cool him coming up being, you know, the biggest thing since Michael Jordan. He was coming out of high school. LeBron was.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk a little bit about this, and then we'll talk some baseball, and we got opening day tomorrow night. So we'll get that. This is the Sporting Edge, and I got my man, my sidekick, Xander, back with me today, and it's always great to have him as part of the show. And remember, if you ever miss one, you can go to libertytalk.fm every weekend and pick it up, as well as the Bubba Show. We have now, again, over 200,000 downloads a month, and we want to keep growing. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We will be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And so, Xander, I said before we went to break that I denounce any liking of LeBron James. I think he turned into just another piece of crap. And I'm tired of hearing whether he's going to be on the team or not on the team. I'm tired of hearing all his garbage. I think, you know what? I thought he had matured, but I'm thinking that he's just a big freaking baby and I can't stand him. What did you have to think?
Yeah, I feel very similarly. Like you said, after the decision, I was like, yeah, this is the stupidest thing ever. If you're a professional athlete, why are you making make yourself look like a hooligan? And then eventually over the past few years, I thought he did a great job of restoring his image as a guy who was growing up. I think he said made a mistake with the decision. But this year, I completely turned my opinion around. It started with the whole David Blatt thing and the firing. And I hear about LeBron in the news all the time and with the coaching and him trying to be a coach and all that stuff. And I'm, like you said, I'm tired of hearing it. I would love to see them get rolled in the NBA Finals again. And the thing with LeBron now is I don't think he will ever be considered the greatest player ever. I think that'll stick with Michael Jordan. But if he wants to possibly ever get to that title, I think he's got to stay in Cleveland. I mean, I heard talks of him possibly going elsewhere. And if he were to lead the Cavs after this year or the next one, I think he would become one of the most hated players in sports history. What do you think about that?
I would not be surprised at all. I mean, he's already gaining on it now because, again, he's just a putz. You know, he's no longer, you cannot like Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is kind of a borderline guy, but Kobe Bryant never really denounced the game and the bullshit that LeBron does. And, of course, nobody handled the class that Michael Jordan did. Okay. So, again, and I don't want to keep bringing up Michael Jordan. I mean, believe it or not, he's still the highest paid basketball player on the market. So there you go. That just goes to show you what goes on here. And again, he's, to me, I don't know. In fact, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Let's talk a little bit about some opening day baseball and some of our expectations as the season kicks off, of course, with our Cubbies. Tra-la, tra-la, baseball is back, and I'm excited. My fantasy team is falling apart right before it started, but so what's your give us an overview of what you think of the season in general.
Well, I am super excited. Opening day baseball is just, I think, my favorite sport to watch. It's on every night with the daily fantasy. I'm watching it all the time. MLB Tonight is my favorite show on TV. This season, I think, is going to be an interesting one. It's really tough, I think, being a Cubs fan right now, with them being on top. It's always more fun when your team comes, from the bottom. If they would have won the World Series last year, it would have been absolute chaos in Chicago. It would have been probably the greatest sports story of all time. But now we sit here, and the Cubs are, by most people, considered the best team in the major leagues. The additions of John Lackey and Jason Hayward, I think, are going to help them tremendously. But it just worries me when everybody's talking about them, because I don't think it's not going to be easy even to win their division. I think you look at the Pirates, and for the past 3 years, they've been right there. And the Cardinals, if you sleep on the Cardinals, I mean, you're not a sports fan because you haven't been watching them for the past 20 years. So, I mean, this division is going to be tough. And I think the Cubs, you know, whether they come out and win or lose their first game, there's going to be overreactions the entire way. I think they need to, you know, set all that shit aside, and they just need to play baseball because this is a great team. They got a great manager. You got everything great surrounding it, but this is not going to be easy. And the AL is also going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, you know, somebody made the interesting observation, even when you're playing fantasy sports, and, you know, you can get into a rhythm in football, and they call them the stacks, and, you know, those, you stack the lineup, and basketball, but baseball's a sport all by itself, and of course, you know from playing for me when I used to coach that baseball is the only sport that is played by nine individuals to make up one team, but nobody can help their teammate basically during a game. I mean, you're basically out there on an island where if you're pitching, you know, if you're in the outfield, if you're hitting, there's nobody else with you. There's nobody can really pick up the slack of that particular part of the game. And so that's what makes it even tougher. So baseball, you know, the worst rag arm in the world can throw a no-hitter tomorrow. And so you have to always worry, because we know almost with 100% certainty that every team is going to win 60 and lose 60. So it's what happens in the other 42, which makes a difference, and that's where the real game gets played. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And I thought maybe we could take a look at my most interesting division, I think, this year is going to be the AL East. You know, we just heard about the other day, Pablo Sandoval is going to start this season on the bench. Kind of hard to believe. You know, paying the guy almost $100 million, and they're going to give the nod to Travis Shaw. So this Boston team, I really don't know what to think. I think they got all the pieces, especially with the addition of David Price, to win this division. And I personally think they're going to do it. But I think it's going to be tough with those Blue Jays, because that team, after they were 23-30 last year, they just went on an absolute tear and became a wrecking crew, and very scary for any pitcher to walk into that ballpark to face that lineup.
Well, I think that the Boston's going to win it myself. I mean, I'm in your park. I think that, you know, they're putting a lot of weight on Stroman in Toronto, and you know they lost arguably lost David Price. That's a pretty big loss, right? I don't know that they're going to have to pitch it again. And I, again, you know, Joey Bats and Carcian are always injured, and I mean they're fun to watch. But when it comes down to it, you got to be able to pitch the baseball. And I don't know if they've got enough pitching to really pitch the baseball. Again, I think that Boston, however, does. And Boston's got just, in my opinion, just as talented a roster, if not better, from a hitting standpoint. I mean, look, you got Big Poppy going out this year. His last year, you know, and I would look at this like almost like his free agent year, because he's not going to want to go out as a dog. He's going to want to go out on top, and he's going to be busting his hump to go out as a shining star, because this is also his audition to be the first DH ever put into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. I think, you know, guys like Wade Miley, Rick Porcello, I think they're going to be huge. I don't know what I'm saying. Is White Matt, Wade Miley even on the Red Sox anymore?
Well, no, actually, he's not on the Seattle Mariners, but that's okay. They got a lot of guys like Joe Kelly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think their middle rotation guys are going to be the key for them, because I think you know you're getting with David Price. I mean, the guy has been one of the most consistent aces in the game for the past 6 or 7 years. But, you know, guys like Kelly, I mean, can he come out and have a great year? I don't know. But, I mean, this team's going to need to play defense, and we're not going to have to watch Hanley Ramirez play left field anymore.
No, I get to watch him play first base. But you did nail it, though. I think Boston's key is, and you nailed it about a month ago, you said Clay Buchholz. I think that is really the key. If he has a big year, they're going to be awfully tough. I mean, he could be, if he was healthy, could have been an ace of any staff. So, unfortunately for him, he can never stay healthy long enough to be that good.
Right, and then, but like you said, looking at the lineup, you got Ortiz, Hanley Ramirez, Mookie Betts. I'm blanking a couple other guys.
Xander Bogaerts.
Yes, Xander Bogaerts. I forgot my own name.
Your own name, Jackie Bradley Jr.
This team, they got a lot. Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. They have a lot of pieces, and if they can all come together, this is another scary team. It kind of it kind of mirrors, I think, the Cubs lineup a little bit, because I think the Cubs, you know, when they get everything working, when you got Rizzo, Bryant, Jason Hayward, in the meat of that order, they can get it all together. They're both going to be scary teams, and I think they might be on a collision course for the World Series if we're not too early to talk about it.
No, it's never too early to talk about it with the Cubs, because we haven't been there for so long that, you know, I think the city might burn down. We might have the Chicago Fire again if they ever got there. I mean, that's the funny thing. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I want to talk more baseball, but I do want to get your opinion on this. I think it's an important fact, and I think it's a good thing. FanDuel and DraftKings have both decided that after the NCAAs, they will no longer do college sports as their daily on their daily fantasy. And I think that's actually a good thing, because, you know, college athletes don't quite make the money pros are, and there is susceptibility to trying to put guys in the take. What do you think?
You know, I actually didn't hear about that, but, you know, listening to your point, I think it is a good direction moving forward. I think it is kind of fun doing college sports and daily fantasy, but, you know, and anything that you can get action on, if you like to do that stuff, is fun. But I do think that's a good point, because, you know, like you said, I remember watching a 30 for 30 once about the Boston college scandal with
Henry Hill, baby.
From Good Balls. Henry Hill, right. And, you know, just stuff like that. Kids are a lot more susceptible, and like you said, they don't make any money, so there's always a bigger chance that, you know, something like that could happen. So I think there's enough action with pro sports to go on, you know, basically 365 days a year, so there's still plenty to do.
Yeah, and believe me, there's a lot more fixes that have been in. Unfortunately, don't get caught. The issue is, it only becomes an issue when they get caught. You can bet your ass that there's a lot more scandals out there. But anyways, this is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and we're going to step out here for a break, but make sure to download, go every day to LibertyTalk.fm and download either the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge, and be one of our now just over 200,000. We're pushing for three. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to step by have a break, and we will be right back after the break to Sporting Edge. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And so, Xander, we looked at the American League East. Let's look at the National League East a little bit here. You know, we've got the Mets with an unbelievable pitching staff again, and I think a pretty potent team now. You know, with Conforto and Cespedes, and you know, I think they're pretty loaded up. Can they repeat? Does Washington have a chance to come back?
I do think Washington has a chance, but I just don't think they're as good of a team as the Mets. I think the Mets pitching is on another level, probably at the top of baseball with the Cubs. When you look at their rotation, the depth, I mean, Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Mats, Bartolo Colon is still in the league, even though he's 75 years old. They've got guys who can throw the ball, and I think losing David Murphy is going to hurt, but I mean, that they were one of the best offensive teams in the second half last year, and I think they'll be fine. This Washington team is going to be interesting. I mean, you got arguably the best player in baseball in Bryce Harper. I put Mike Trout ahead of him, but for the sake of argument, you could make an argument for that. They got a pretty potent lineup as well, and like I said, it comes down to pitching and defense. Can they pitch the ball? And I think they're going to play well this year. I think they're going to win in the neighborhood of 90 games, but I take the Mets in the high 90s for wins, and I think they're going to win this division by 4 or 5 games.
Well, I just want to say this. I put Bryce Harper in the overvalued this year. I put him in a bust this year. Now, I like Bryce Harper. I think he's a great player, and I'm not taking anything away from his talent. But they're already talking about him as the $400 million man, and his contract, his free agent year. And normally, you know, you wouldn't, I wouldn't think about that, but, you know, guy's already talking about it. I mean, it's hard to live up to that praise. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, and I think the thing that's a little different about Bryce Harper, though, is he has been in this kind of sort of supernatural limelight since he was 16 years old and on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So I think if there was any guy to have these rumors surrounding him, any guy to play through it and actually become better, I think it would be Bryce Harper, just because he's been around. He's been a baseball sensation for, you know, since he was a sophomore in high school. So I think if there was one guy who would outperform the expectation, I think it could be him. But like you said, I do think he also is a little bit overvalued this year. But we take a look at the Nationals rotation. You got Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez, Ross, Tanner Roark. I think a huge thing is going to be staying healthy. I mean, can Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez stay healthy for an entire year? I mean, Steven Strasburg has been dealing with injuries basically his entire major league career. So, I mean, he's a great pitcher when he's on, but he's only been on about half the time since he started playing. And Max Scherzer, I mean, I can't say anything bad about him. I mean, he's been near the top pitcher in baseball for the past 3 years. So guys like Ross, Tanner Roark, I mean, he's moving into a starting role this year. They're going to need to be big at the back end of that rotation.
Well, here's my problem. Max Scherzer is as good as anybody. I would take him with any. I put him right with Baumgartner and Kershaw. I mean, he may not win, but he's going out there, and you're getting innings from him. The problem I have with the Nationals is Gio Gonzalez is a five-inning guy. He can't get past it. I mean, he was at one time a great pitcher. Now he's just an average. I think Strasburg does have a big this year. I really wanted to get him on my draft team. I just couldn't get to him. I think he's going to have a big year this year. But I think they're good, but I don't think they can compete with the Mets. I just, you know, again, they just don't seem to get it, and they don't seem to have it, and it's a shame, but that's life in the fast lane. And I did want to switch over to the National League West. You know, everybody's talking like the Dodgers have already won this thing, and I think that I don't even think the Dodgers are a second place team in that division right now. In my opinion, I think the Giants win that division, and I think Arizona gives the Giants a run for their money. What do you think?
You know what? I think the Giants take this division, but I think this is going to be a three-headed dogfight with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have made a ton of moves this offseason, and I think, you know, the big key for them obviously is, you know, can Zach Greinke repeat and basically, you know, be one of the best pitchers in the league again this year? I mean, they got a ton of power in that lineup, a lot of young power. Goldschmidt is definitely the guy to look out for there, but I think this division is going to be a dogfight. I mean, the Dodgers are good. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, though. So they're going to need also. I mean, I think the key to this season is the back end of the rotation. I mean, you know, you basically know you're getting with Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner. Those guys are pretty much write-ins for 15 to 20 wins in a basically 3 ERA. But it's those other guys at the back end that you really need to perform because, you know, like we saw the Red Sox last year, their whole staff, everybody just underperformed, and it was terrible to watch because they just couldn't get anybody out.
Right. I mean, I just don't like, you know, I just don't think the Dodgers are all that great. I mean, again, I don't know. I obviously could be wrong. There's no certainty. I mean, there's nobody like Clayton Kershaw. I mean, he's still, I mean, in my opinion, him and Baumgartner are the two best pitchers in baseball right now. And not just because they win a lot, but because they go out there all the time. And you never basically have to worry about them going, you know, seven innings is almost a bad game for those guys. And so I look at that. And then as we switch back into the American League and we look at the AL West, you know, you've got Texas, outstanding rotation, even with losing Yu Darvish for the first half of the year this year again. But Hamels looks spectacular. Holland's back, and they look awfully tough. What do you think?
I think Houston is going to take this division this year. I really love Texas. I love this team. They went on such a great run last year. I'm not sure about Derek Holland. I mean, I love him. I think he's a great talent, but settling into the number two spot in that rotation, he's got to stay healthy. And he's just shown that he has been able to stay healthy so far. I mean, this lineup has got a little bit of pop. I mean, the acquiring Ian Desmond I thought was huge. I thought, you know, he had a rough year in his contract year with the Nationals. He's playing left field now. I think it's going to take a little bit of pressure off him. And I think this team is poised to make a big run, but I just like Houston a little more. I mean, leading with Dallas Keuchel, they got a lot of guys who can hit homers, and they got a perfect part for that. I think they're going to play a similar style of baseball that they played last year. I think they're overall a little bit better of a team. I think you look at guys like Colin McHugh, I think he's going to be even better than he was last year. And he was sensational. He's a young guy. Doug Fister, Mike Fears. I just think this team is really going to pull around and be a force.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not counting him out. That's for sure. I just think that I think Desmond's going to have a monster year this year. I think that he's going to come back blazing because he had so much trouble getting picked up. We'll see. I think the Angels are going to suck, but they've got, you know, you got Mike Trout. I mean, you got arguably the best player in baseball over the last 15 years.
Oh, I think without question. I mean, you look at what the guy's done. top two MVP every year. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, he had to go up against Miguel Cabrera winning the Triple Crown that year. Otherwise, he might have, you know, three or four. So speaking of Miguel Cabrera, what are your thoughts on him this year? Is he going to hit 40 home runs and hit 330 again, or is he going to regress?
I think he's going to hit okay, but I don't know that he's going to hit the power. I think he'll have a decent year, but, you know, I worry about him having at third base at the beginning of the year because he's just not in that kind of shape. And he's getting old. He is the best hitter I've ever seen since Frank Thomas, believe it or not. So, but, you know, at some point, you know, the legs start to go. And, you know, last year he basically hit with his arms only when he did hit. So, you know, it's certainly sad to see. And I think Detroit's going to suck anyways. And I think that whole division, I think Kansas City walks away with it again there.
Yeah, you know, I don't really see much competition. I think the team that could give them the biggest run for their money is the Indians because of the pitching. I mean, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, those guys.
They put Bauer in the bullpen. Another loss for my team. They put Bauer in the bullpen.
Right. I did see that. Yeah. I could still see him transitioning to starter, you know, sometime in the year. But I think their team would give them the run for their money if it's going to be any team in that division.
Well, Cleveland's biggest problem is they got to get off to a good start. They never have, and they got Kluber and whatever. But, unfortunately, all right, so we got who wins the two games? You got Oklahoma, and who do you got in North Carolina? I got Oklahoma and Syracuse. Opening day tomorrow night. Everybody, thank you so much for being here at the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. Get the downloadable version. We always love sharing it with you. We enjoy this is always one of the highlights of the week where Xander and I get to talk sports with our friends and listeners. This is the Sporting Edge. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy opening day. We'll see you back here next weekend. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll see you next year, everybody. Have a great weekend.
He tried the corner and missed. Like dolphins can swim.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.